Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
You and I look like we're hosting an event at a country club later.
Yeah.
Like a summer luncheon. Nothing too formal.
Well, that's good because we don't do too formal.
You can't. I'm not wearing tuxes and tails.
They can't do it.
No, we both look nice today.
But can I tell you?
Yeah.
I feel comfy.
Comfy and nice. Can I tell you? I'm wearing pants.
Good.
6:02 now with the Morning Scramble.
He's wearing pants. It's a start.
Purchased at Costco.
Yes.
I'm wearing Costco pants.
They're kind of great, aren't they?
I love them.
They're wonderful.
How do they know?
How do they know? I don't know.
Do you buy your pants at Costco?
I have purchased.
Or does your husband buy his pants at Costco?
I have never bought men's pants. But the lady stuff is, I don't know, a little casual something.
Yes.
I never know what's going to trip my trigger.
These are called tech pants.
Are they very technical?
I think there's technology that makes them a little extra stretchy.
Oh.
There's also a special pocket for my cell phone.
Where's the secret pocket? In your pocket?
No, it's behind my pocket.
What are you talking about? There's a...
Do you see my... I'm zipping right... Basically right on my hip.
Okay, I'm sorry. Wait a second.
What?
Men's pants are already bigger pockets. And now they gave you another pocket?
One, two, three,
you gotta be kidding
four,
me!
Zipper five.
Oh, he needs more.
I'm gonna back up a second. Do I have any on my legs? There might be like some near my...
Check your knees. Yeah, there's probably one little compartment behind the knee.
No, I don't see any down there, but... Has the cargo short grown into the pant? Guys, you got to buy these tech pants.
Seriously.
I love them.
Wow. It's not a cargo, but it's got secret pockets.
It does have a secret. Let me put my phone there.
Wow.
Zip.
And then no one will know because it's a secret.
Hold on. Ow. Zip.
Okay. Wow.
Gone.
Wow.
Watch me reach for my phone like I can't find it.
I would love to ask them to also create some ladies' tech pants.
Why don't you just buy the men's pants?
How is that gonna...
Hold on. Yes.
No.
Why not?
Because...
The fit?
The fit. I think the fit would be off.
All right.
No.
Is it because you would have to buy pants that would have to acknowledge exactly what your waist is?
No.
Do you buy pants based on waist size or just a number?
Oh, it depends on the brand.
Oh, does it?
It varies from brand to brand.
Because men's is just waist length. Right? And I'm constantly fighting for slightly larger, slightly shorter.
Let's cheat those numbers just a little bit.
Can we just edge that one down by half an inch, please?
No, it always depends on what brand you're looking for. But the pocket thing is true.
Well, so now what are you wearing now? Does that have pockets in it?
It does
those
have pockets, but it's more of a trouser, so there's room for them.
It's a trouser. For when you're trousering around?
But I don't have any secret pockets.
Do you have any back pockets?
I don't even have back pockets.
Well, I don't see it. You don't carry a wallet.
True, but if I wanted to, it'd be nice.
You should be able to. That's what we're saying.
Exactly.
You should have the access to these pants.
The option should be there.
Well, I'm still putting out, just buy our version. You're not going to go for that at all.
No.
I get it.
No. No.
Okay.
No.
You're not going to. You haven't tried it. Now, the flip side is you're going to offer me to buy your pants. I'm like, yeah, roomy.
Roomy?
Well, if I get the right size, it looks like it's very blousy. Well,
that's just the...
It flows. It trousers.
It depends on the whatever's in style.
Sure.
You would have not survived the skinny jean era. You wouldn't have made it.
I don't think so.
We go through a lot.
I would have lost a lot of blood.
Us ladies go through a lot, man.
There's a skinny jean era for men. Mm-hmm. Just not as skinny.
Not as.
No.
True.
You got to pour me into those.
Fair.
Thank you.
But still, the pockets remain true, no matter the fit of the pant.
Well, I wish you well in your pocket journey. And
thank you.
Welcome.
I'll fight for
welcome
pockets.
Welcome to Well Dressed Club Tuesday.
We're here. We're ready to go.
Yes.
And this is an incredible video. A heroic elephant at a zoo in Guatemala City.
Okay.
They got video of it. The elephant is somehow in like some sort of sanctuary, and there's other animals in there with it. So there's some gazelle that are... roaming around in this pen as well.
So it's like it's like real life for the elephant.
Exactly.
And the gazelle.
Exactly. The gazelle, however, maybe not the brightest bulb in the pack, jumped into a body of water And that body of water was just a little too deep for the gazelle.
Oh, no.
And the gazelle was going to drown in its own zoo pail. Help me. Help me, right? The gazelle is kind of sloshing around in the water, can't get out. A quick-thinking elephant swings into action.
Yes.
Using its trunk.
No.
It reaches down into the water.
Drinks all of it.
And drinks all of the water. And then the gazelle is fine. The gazelle walks up. No, that's not what happened. The elephant reached down with its trunk and wrapped its trunk around the horns of the gazelle.
Are you kidding me?
And pulls the gazelle out of the water to safety. Incredible.
That's cool.
The thing I don't understand is it says, and then the zookeepers caught the whole thing on camera. Where were they?
It was lunch.
It's an incredible footage. Don't get me wrong.
Well, at some point, I'm guessing in zoo life, you go, let it happen, right?
True.
Like, I don't want to. The whole thing is like, we're taking you out of your natural environment and we're creating a fake environment. We can't interrupt too much more. And I'm thinking they just step back and see what happens.
Let's see. Because the gazelle has actually done this before.
Same gazelle?
I don't know if it was the same gazelle or not.
This is the part of natural selection, though, right? That gazelle needs to die because its DNA is going to get passed on, and then you're going to get dumber and dumber gazelle.
This gazelle is stupid. You know what? Frankly, I'm just going to get my phone out and see what happens. That's sick.
That's life. We learned it in The Lion King, Claire.
It's the circle of life.
It's the circle of life.
Oh, man.
Then he's going to go into the ground, and then the ants eat the grass or whatever it was. I forget what it was. And then the zebras eat the grass, and the lion eat the zebras. That's how it works.
But it's the zoo.
Yeah.
Save him.
What's the name of the elephant? Do we know?
I don't know. No, he's just an elephant. But
an elephant?
He's just.
Not anymore.
A hero.
He's a hero.
Hero the elephant.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
I want to start by blaming Apple. Well, it all started with Newton, I guess.
No, I think it went back further.
Apple has gotten, and I don't remember what operating system upgrade this was, but your email, if there's a conversation going on, it now stacks. And it copies all the other emails, so you get lost in a sea of replies.
It's not my favorite system.
I hate it. And I'm bringing this up because this weekend, I'm looking forward to, we're having a Theobald family reunion. So this is my mom's side in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
Ooh.
That's a lot of words there.
Yeah.
Which Oconomowoc, as I was thinking about it, is kind of like the Lake McBride of Wisconsin. You've got a college town, Madison, a little bit away, and then you've got a bigger town, Milwaukee. So Oconomowoc's right in the middle. It's also on two lakes. So one of the activities is we've rented a pontoon. I love my boats.
Yes, you do.
And we're just going to kind of troll the lake. And because when you go back to my aunt who grew up in that area, she's like, I remember going to their house. And there were some big names in this town. The Pabsts.
Pabst Blue Ribbon. Their Blue Ribbon. Yes.
The Montgomerys or the Wards. I forget which one of Montgomery Wards had a house there. Like this was a big, small town, but had some major players.
Wow.
In the 18, 1900s, right? Okay. So there's an email going around. Okay, we booked the boat. Who wants to be on the boat? There's only be 10 people on the boat at a time, so we're going to have to do shifts. Who wants to drive the boat?
Your hand immediately went up.
Why not, right?
Of course it did.
So
I was just thinking that you're not going to do well as a passenger on the boat. You're going to want to be the driver.
I'm going to move people physically out of the way.
Yeah.
Give me the wheel. Then in the sea of all of the emails and signatures, and it's like, you got to sign the waiver.
So you have to sign a waiver?
Yes, because, you know, there's still safety involved. So I click a link, and it takes me to a website called boat-ed.com. How legit does this sound?
Super legit.
$20 later, I have my temporary boating certificate. I think this is a scam.
What's it say?
It says that this certificate is presented to Eric Hansen in recognition of successful completion of the online portion of the course.
What? What were the questions?
I had to take a 25 true-false multiple-choice course on boating in Wisconsin. By the way, I was supposed to go through every chapter ahead of time. I skipped that. I just took it.
Whoa.
I got an 88%.
Hey. That is close enough for Wisconsin.
It got me a certificate.
88%.
As long as they're 88% compliant, that's all we care about.
Wait, did you go back and look at the ones you missed and to understand why?
No.
Oh, dear. Okay.
No.
Are you sure this is
I don't know what age you have to be to wear a life jacket in Wisconsin. Who cares?
They do. They care.
The problem, though, is I don't think I had to take this. I think you just have to sign. We were in Wisconsin just 2 years ago. We did the exact same experience on a different lake. I didn't have to take anything.
But what if you did it illegally?
Maybe I did.
This is just to make sure everything's above board.
Well, I got to cite it. As a student of this program, I hereby certify I am personally responsible for completing the work associated with this course. I further understand it's violation to tamper with this voucher or for anybody other than me to use this voucher, according to boat-ed.com.
Is it from Ed or is this boat
education? I don't
know
who Ed is.
So
I think I got scammed. That's fine.
It's fine.
I have a boating license now, temporarily.
Look at you.
I know.
And maybe not everybody else takes the course, so default.
When I board the pontoon, I'm going to make sure this is displayed.
If you could somehow get that in your wallet, yeah.
I'm sure I'll pray another $20 will send me a small version.
If you could get it like laminated.
That's another $20.
Yes.
I'm 60 in on this thing.
Do self-lamination.
I'm set.
Yeah, you got this.
Thank you.
I need your participation. I don't know if you're going to want to help me or not.
I have to raise my hand here? What is it?
No, I might need to raise my hand though. I have, in the summer, you know, gets hot.
Yeah.
And I've decided that now is the time to switch brands of deodorant.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you already on a new one today?
I am.
Something smelled different when you walked in
today.
Okay.
I smell incredibly strong, I feel. So, okay, that was my question. It's the deodorant. It is natural, and it smells like lavender. But I feel like that's where we're all staying, is that lavender haze.
You're focused on the scent. I'm focused on the application.
Oh, yeah? What?
There seems to be a trend in body odor right now where people must be so afraid of what they smell like. Would you concur? There are more commercials now for body cleaner and deodorants that go on parts of my body that I have never deodorized.
In different places.
Ever. I have never deodorized any of these places ever before.
All these nooks and crannies.
I know. They don't need it because I wash my body. Why? So I guess I want to ask you, did you buy the special kind?
No.
That goes up top and down below?
This is traditional.
Okay.
This is traditional.
This is Pit deodorant. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
No, I noticed it when you got, there was a different
smell.
You can
smell it as soon as I walk in.
I got a good nose, man.
Man, it is.
No, you smell great. Wear it every day.
It's really strong, though.
I'm okay with it.
Okay, but if it starts to turn.
If it gets too strong?
That's where I want participation.
Are you applying more, or
no.
Is it just overwhelming?
If it gives up, you know, and you're like, ooh, that doesn't smell like the beautiful lavender haze.
Are you worried it's going to be like fruit stripe gum?
Yes.
Out of the package is fantastic.
Exactly. I do not want a fruit stripe gum situation over here.
If at 9 o'clock you start to smell, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. Let's see if we make it through the show today.
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
More news coming out of that assassination. That's what's being called in Minnesota. According to officials, Iowans were included on that list of alleged targets by the man accused of the shootings on Saturday, which were two lawmakers. One lawmaker died and their spouse, the other were sent to the hospital. 57-year-old Vance Bolter arrested in his home near Green Isle, Minnesota, Sunday after that search. The list was mentioned during a news conference following the arrest. Officials say it had targets in Wisconsin, Illinois, Nebraska, and Iowa.
Whoa.
Names will never be released. Greater Iowa City Incorporated, that's the convention and tourism group for Johnson County, reporting 5.1 million visitors from outside of Johnson County in 2024.
Ooh.
They use a variety of multipliers, but they've determined so 5.1 million people means approximately 30 million stops at restaurants, stores, as well as community amenities like parks. And then you translate that into dollars, $458 million in revenue generated from tourism in Johnson County just in 2024. Your big months are August and September. Back to school, football, if you think about it.
Yes.
So, like, if my mom and dad come in from Chicago, they count as tourists.
Yep. And if they're going to stay and help me move in.
May, June, July, October, November also remain strong for visitors. Again, October, November, you got a lot of football there. What's got us feeling all right this morning? Downtown District of Cedar Rapids installing a new Cedar Rapids sign on Mays Island.
I accidentally drove past this. I was like, is this for the Freedom Festival coming up? Like, what is this?
No, this is a new permanent sign. So I am actually a member of the Downtown Innovation Council, which is a volunteer group that works on a variety of things like that Horizon Shuttle come holiday time.
Yeah.
That big video they project on the side of, what is that, the Armstrong building?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are the projects we work on when they had music near Green Square a couple years ago. So this has been in the works for about a year. It's 9 feet high by 27 feet wide. It was sold on Friday. That orange was picked specifically. So when they branded, you know, downtown CR, there's kind of an orange-blue motif.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that orange is coming from. The sign is first step to use Maze Island more. In fact, the new downtown district director, who I think came in from Des Moines, on his walking tour, he's like, why do you guys have this green space? It's same with Green Square.
Right.
And nobody uses it.
These great spaces.
Yeah. So look for things like maybe more art installations, certainly more accessibility to Green or to Maze Island. But the first step was getting people, like, you need a magnet, something that's going to draw people's heads when they drive by it. People want to take pictures with it.
Yeah.
And so now that's the new permanent installation, that new Cedar Rapids sign.
I love it. It looks so sharp.
Got us feeling all right.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Eric Dane from Grey's Anatomy has shared that he's suffering from ALS. He sat down to an interview with Diane Sawyer on Good Morning America to discuss where he's at with the progress of his disease. And the news isn't great. He revealed that he only has one functioning arm. His left side is functioning, but his right side has completely stopped working.
Oh, man.
It's awful. This disease is a terrible disease. You just kind of like lose the functionality of your body,
yeah.
But your brain is still there. He said, I feel like maybe I have a couple more months and then I won't have my left hand either. It's very sobering. He said it came to reality recently. His 13-year-old daughter had to save his life. He jumped into some water, didn't realize that he really didn't have the arm strength to swim. So she had to drag him back to the boat.
Wow.
Yeah. So he thought the water would be kind of like a gentle exercise.
Yeah.
He said it was just heartbreaking for him to have to rely on her to save his life. He said he's looking forward, though, to his future. He said he wants to spend time with his family. He wants to work a little bit if he can. He doesn't think it's the end of his story. He just said, I feel like in my heart, this is not the end for me. This is not the end of my story.
We wish you well.
We do, absolutely. Law and Order alums Mariska Hargitay and Christopher Maloney worked all those years side by side, completely platonic relationship. They're professionals, right?
You got to be when you're wearing the blue.
You have to be. Or are they? Mariska Hargitay has a brand new documentary about her and her mother, Jane Mansfield. It's called My Mom, Jane. And to be a supportive coworker, Christopher Maloney went to the premiere of the movie and walked the red carpet. They posed for pictures together.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Super, super nice. Yeah.
Yes.
Old coworkers together. Except one photographer captured a photo with her hand dipping down to the booty. Say what? She just kind of leaves it there and then they go off. He doesn't react.
They're dating. Clearly.
She's married to
this case is open and shut.
It's just, hey, wait, what you doing?
Dating.
Dating.
They're dating.
It's just, I guess it was there. I've had somebody do that where they like, I thought you were my husband. Sorry.
No, I've never done that.
No one's ever patted your booty?
No.
Except for just me.
A lot of high school sports, but get in there. Nice block, Hanson.
But maybe it was totally innocent.
Nope, apparently it's just you and this.
No, guilty.
I thought you were my husband. Who did you pat?
I'll never tell. I would never do that. Pedro Pascal, celebrity lookalike contest in New York City on Sunday. Hosted by a Mexican restaurant, it's called Sun Del North, and they were looking to celebrate their first anniversary of being in business, so they're like, what can we do? About a year ago, there was that big Timothy Chalamet lookalike contest, and the lookalike contest just took off. Now, I haven't heard of one since we did ours.
I figure like we were the final chapter in lookalike contest. It was early December, right? We were at Scooter's Coffee downtown. And we had a ton of people show up. It was a ton of fun.
It was great.
And then from that the last lookalike contest, our lookalike contest, you've never heard of another one again.
Well, maybe they're breathing new life into it. Maybe they're like bringing it back because they had about 26 contestants. And the winner is 42-year-old George Gauntis. He's a lighting designer on Comedy Central's The Daily Show.
Nice.
Yes. He was convinced to show up by his coworkers and his wife. He got $50 and a year's worth of burritos.
Woo!
Which, that's a prize, right? He was inspired to participate in the contest and shared a message with his famous double. Shout out to Pedro Pascal. Let's hang out, have some beer, and be friends. Vamos, Pedro.
Do you have a photo of this guy?
He looks like Pedro Pascal.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I also I have a photo. No, I presume so,
yes,
but
he looks very similar.
How close? That's what I was getting at.
Very close.
Okay.
He was the winner of the contest.
Stop it.
He looks very
He looks closer than
what
the other.
What does he look like? Pedro Pascal.
Maybe I want to judge for myself. Did you ever think of that? When you're offering up a year's worth of burritos, I think you need another set of eyes.
You want to make sure that it's
very
close. I
want to make sure that was worthy.
I'm on board with this coming back, by the way. All of the celebrity lookalike contests. Let's do them all.
I agree.
Every single celebrity. These are fun.
I'm guessing it's probably on, when you know, New York City is so big.
Yeah.
This is a random Mexican restaurant that just puts the word out casually, and then you get enough people who work on The Daily Show to hear about it.
Yeah.
And they send their lighting designer down.
I also feel like with him being the lighting designer, he's got a shot at meeting Pedro.
Quite possibly.
I mean,
yes,
they could reach out.
Right place,
people.
Right time?
Yeah.
Or yeah. Work with the booking, the person who books talent?
Make it happen,
for sure.
Comedy Central.
Even if it's just a, like walking through the hallway and they both do a double take and that's it.
Yes.
But one guy's eating a burrito.
Because he has them. Free
so,
for a year.
So he looks like him, huh?
He looks exactly like Pedro Pascal.
I'll take your word for it.
That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
We are throwing a world record size birthday party. Boy, that puts it in perspective.
Yeah.
For one Mr. Shucks at Colonel Stadium, Saturday, July 5th. Buy your tickets now through the Colonel's ticket website because we need to pack the park. At a minimum, 1,500 people all wearing party hats at the same time. That is an actual, we'll certify it,
yeah,
world record.
But let's max out, people. Dream big.
Yeah, 2,000, 3,000. However many hats they're going to order. The Colonels are taking care of the hats.
I just want to demolish this record, and I think that we can absolutely do it. And now knowing that it also falls on a day that should be celebrated, Mr. Shucks' birthday, I mean, we got to whoop this thing up big.
So I feel like parents planning my kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
Our kid just happens to be a mascot with a baseball head.
Yes.
Who...
As one realizes that your kid has a baseball head. Sure.
Which is weird. Doesn't look at all like his father. So the question remains, who's on the list? Who do you invite?
Who do we invite? I'd ask him, but he's probably not going to give us a response. He's going to try to mime it.
Okay, let's try that.
Okay.
You ready? I'm going to mime one for you.
Okay.
Okay, here
You're
I go.
You're going to mime a response?
Yeah, I'm going to be Mr. Shucks.
This is going to go over
well. Say what you see.
Okay, go. He's flapping his arms like a chicken.
Or what?
Like a duck?
Other
like
birds.
A bird. Like a plane. Like a sky.
This is a horrible idea.
I don't know.
A hawk. Herky the hawk.
Oh, yeah.
There's one. Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to do it again. I think I now I ready?
See, it didn't go well the first time. You're genuine, like you're riding a pony.
It's a horse.
Oh, it's a horse.
I'm riding a horse. We have three horse mascots in town.
Oh,
right?
Mustang Sally.
There's one.
The Ricochet.
There's two.
But he's not, he's actually like a mule or something.
He's a, no, he's not. He's a,
is a horse?
He's a stallion.
Oh.
Isn't he? I thought he was.
I don't know. The gray threw
he's
me.
He's a mule. And I would presume the Mustangs of Mount Vernon College.
Oh.
Would also have a mascot. I've never seen him before, but I presume they have one.
Well, the high school's the.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're a Mustang. Cornell College Mustangs.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Is that wrong?
I don't know. I just don't know if I've seen the mascot
Guys,
out and about.
I feel bad. I have friends. No, I am so sorry. They're the Rams. They're Cornell the College Rams.
Yeah, but the high school is the Mustangs. I just don't know if they have a mascot.
I just insulted an entire college's worth of alumni.
An entire community. The entire town is mad at you.
Mount Vernon Rams, Cornell.
But the high school is the Mustangs.
Yeah.
I just don't know if they have a mascot.
Oh, could we get Storm and Norman the CPU, the pointer?
Yes.
Sports Illustrated most
awesomest. Storm and Norman, write that down. Okay. We need to specially invite Storm and Norman.
Do you want to see what I was going to do for that one?
No, I do not.
Okay, dang.
No, keep it bottled tight. I Googled Cedar Rapids mascot.
Yes.
And it gave me number one, Mr. Shucks.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Number two?
Number two, Ricochet, obviously.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Number three is Donna.
Who's Donna?
It says there's a dolphin. The city of Cedar Rapids has a dolphin mascot named Donna.
We do?
Never heard of it. But Donna, you're listening.
We have an otter.
An otter from the Parks and Recs. Yes.
Are you on Whitley? This is the problem with AI.
Where's it coming
a
from?
A mascot in Cedar Rapids named Donna the Dolphin.
I don't know, but I love it.
That's absurd. Well, let me put it on the list. Hold on.
Donna the Dolphin. Any mascots. I think we should open it up to all mascots.
Playtime Poppy.
Playtime Poppy would be a great... Oh, and with Mr. Shucks at the Cedar Rapids Colonels. That's a slam dunk. Yeah.
Okay. Help us out. I clearly don't know the Cornell mascot. I got that wrong.
And we're really bad at mime work.
Says you.
Says me. I am exactly the one saying it.
I was clearly a hawk and I was clearly riding a horse, not a pony. Okay, who are we forgetting? Who do we need to invite mascot-wise? These have to be Mr. Shucks' friends.
Yes.
We want them at the party.
Local mascots, who do we need to add to our list? You can give us a call, 200-1029.
It's the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble.
Z102.9.
This is a very unusual tour, but the Morning Scramble is officially embarked upon it. I was at the presentation of, is it Fun Home Theater Cedar Rapids?
Yeah.
What was that, March, early April? The Groove Life podcast, I was like, hey, you guys want to come on?
Yeah, Shane Lunsford was like, hey, tell your partner. I would love to have you guys on the show.
I don't know what that entails. Like, we do one, and we won an award for ours, and I suppose.
We'd never been invited on a podcast before.
What do we do? He's like, just show up. And then we provide a cocktail. We talk about what gives you a groove in life.
Actually, once he said we provide you a cocktail, it was like, okay, we're in.
I didn't hear anything after that. Then songs we were grooving to. So when we recorded our Groove Life podcast, it was right after I saw the Sister Hazel show in Iowa City. So that podcast is now available. Groove Life, it's been out. I think we're the three episodes back.
Mm-hmm.
That started this journey. Then we started to put the word out just to see what other podcasts are out there. And if you ask enough, people start throwing invitations.
Yeah, we got invited to be on the Real Success podcast with Nate Kading.
Nate Kading hosts this podcast with the Quarter Business Journal, and that officially dropped yesterday at about 8:30, 9 o'clock. I know we have one listen. Shannon listened to it, downloaded it on her flight back from New York City.
Did she enjoy it?
She enjoyed your parts, she said.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Always good to meet a fan.
Yes. So you're going to see more about that because I believe part of the transcript of that's going to come out in the CBJ this week. So the Quarter Business Journal, Nate Kading podcast, we are in the process of booking one for next Tuesday. And then we've got a whole host of others. We just need to make sure the times work out for everybody.
I hope so. I think now that we've got three in the works,
yes,
it feels like we can call it a tour. But we want to have a whole list, like where we could make a t-shirt with all the tour
That's
stops.
The goal.
Yeah.
Okay, so
two seems sad. I'm not going to print the shirts until we get the third.
That's not a tour.
No.
That's like, hey, we started a band in the garage.
Yeah,
right?
No, we need multiple.
You need to book at least three venues.
Yeah.
Three venues a tour makes, I believe, is an old tour rule.
Yeah.
Somewhere. So the asks of you are the following. One, for you to listen to them, we'll let you know when we're on, but we're eventually going to get that full list up on the Morning Scramble page at z102.9kzia.com. But the other big ask is if you have a podcast or if you know of anybody or just one that you love listening to and you know it's in the area, please hook us up. We'll make the ask. we think we've got a pretty compelling story. So we'll work on getting onto the podcast. We just need the contact information.
Yeah. Let us know if there's a podcast that you enjoy, or if you have a podcast and you'd like us to go on tour and make one your podcast one of our stops. Let us know. It's scramble@kzia.com.
Drink provided optional.
Optional. But
preferred.
Encouraged.
Is it here yet? Is it on yet? Is it here yet?
Since kids don't come with instructions,
we're here to help.
It's Momtroversy on Z102.9.
Gotta help out a mom and dad that are kind of at a crossroads when it comes to raising their teenager. They have elected to remain nameless, but they wrote in.
That's fine.
Mom wrote in and said, we have a 15-year-old son who is about to turn 16 and who has no desire at all to get his license or even learn how to drive. We had planned to surprise him with our older backup car as a birthday gift, and my husband thinks we still should, hoping that the gift will motivate him.
Oh, interesting approach.
That's interesting. Mom says, I'm afraid that we're pressuring him into something that he's just not ready for. Looking for some input because we need to decide. Have other parents been in this situation? What did they do?
So many ways to approach this. So I grew up about a mile outside of town. Mm-hmm. So to go anywhere, right, we had to have transportation. Couldn't really walk from school to home, things like that.
At 15, you could get your school permit where you could just drive to home and to school if you lived in a certain radius. And I was all about getting that immediately.
Also,
this whole concept of not wanting to get a license is completely new and foreign to me.
So the other reason I'm questioning this is, do schools still teach driver's ed?
I think more and more they're letting other entities, driver's ed businesses do it.
It just felt like it was part of the curriculum and the next stage I was going through in school.
Everybody signed up.
Yeah.
We all did it. Yeah.
My shop teacher taught it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's shop teacher taught it.
Shop teacher.
So where did 14, like, and I had a moped at 14. So like that idea of like, I get to graduate to another level of freedom and another ability to drive. Where did that change?
And I don't know, you and I both grew up in smaller communities. If it was more of a rural thing, in a bigger city like Cedar Rapids, it would be really intimidating if this was where I was learning to drive. Like the streets of Williamsburg, Iowa were fairly calm, you know,
lovely
brick streets.
Now, did you ever venture into we had a couple days we would drive in Iowa City. Which is a 30-minute, so you would take like a 90-minute day, there'd be three drivers, we would rural road our way up to Iowa City, and then we would take turns driving in the big city, and then rural road back to Washington.
I think it was like a one-day event in Driver's Ed where you had to drive out to the rest area and, you know,
on the interstate. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got to get used to trucks driving by you.
Absolutely.
I got my license, Dad's like, let's go. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, we're driving to Waterloo right now, and you're driving. I come from the family of you swim when we throw you into the pool.
So he threw you into the car.
He's like, and he fell asleep, Claire.
Well, he's very trusting.
Yeah, dumb move. And all he said was, it's okay if you speed, don't pass the fastest truck. Which is wise words from Kenneth Hansen.
I'm not okay. No, I don't. I can't.
And
no,
maybe that
even.
Concept of just like danger and I don't want to get in trouble. And it's just easier if I don't have it. Is that what we're dealing with in this situation? Does the teenager just like, I don't want to deal with it because it's stress and anxiety and I don't know how to navigate those emotions?
And I think as mom is pointing out, you know, they say that you can get your license at 16, but kids develop at different ages, different times. Maybe this kid just really legit isn't mature enough to handle the responsibility of driving.
When did that change? It felt like every 16-year-old I went to school with was a mature 16-year-old.
Maybe
we all got our license at the same time.
Who's to say they are, though? But this kid clearly knows themselves and knows that they are not ready for the responsibility.
So the question of the morning is what?
If you've been in this situation before, you have a 16-year-old and they just aren't interested in getting a driver's license, learning how to drive, how do you navigate a situation like this? What would you do?
Dad wants to give him the car.
Dad wants to force
the hand. Kind of like Dad.
That's a good motivation.
Yeah.
Or are you on like team mom? Like, let's keep the car back and let this little baby bird develop its wings and then fly.
That sounds like Finding Nemo. I don't want to let the fish out of the house.
Don't let him go.
Clearly, I know where I stand on this, but I'd be very curious to find out where other people stand.
What do other people think? I think that this is a more common thing nowadays,
yeah,
that I feel like, than when we were growing up.
Your driving age teen doesn't want to drive. What do you do about it? Let us know. 200-1029.
Helping raise your kids the scramble way.
This week's Momtroversy
on Z102.9.
We got a couple of parents at odds here because mom and dad disagree. They've got a 15-year-old about to turn 16 on the cusp of, you know, being able to get that driver's license. But the kid has no desire to get the license. Just
that
not
just
interested.
Baffles me.
I know. I'm like, it's so foreign from what I experienced at 16. But this kid, not interested. So mom and dad have some different ideas about what they should do. The plan had been, when our kid turns 16, we're going to give him the old car, let him take it out, have some independence. Dad says, maybe we just give him the car and see what happens. Maybe that will be the motivating factor. And mom's like, I don't think we give him the car. I think we need to do something. She just doesn't know what. So she's turned to us. What would you do if you were in that situation? How do you motivate a 16-year-old to get their license?
As close to this topic as I've been is to watch my niece and nephew in North Liberty, both of which were ready to, they were very active in school activities. So I think it was kind of insisted upon them that you got to learn to drive. And I think a car was offered, but at least you can then be on your own to go legally where you're supposed to go. But that's just going to, the idea there was help each other out, right?
Yeah.
As a family unit, us not having to drive you everywhere makes life easier for everybody. And I would think, it sounds like this family was prepared for this kid to go.
Yeah.
Was ready to take
Thought
the car.
That the kid would take the car.
But the kid doesn't want to take the car.
No. How do you motivate the kid?
Hi, Z102.9. Are you calling for Momtroversy?
Yep.
What are your thoughts? How would you get a 16-year-old driving if they didn't want to drive?
Well, so I was actually that 16-year-old. So when I was 16, I didn't care about school. I thought I was better than school, and I thought I was smarter. So I didn't pass my driver's ed test. So I was supposed to then go through and do everything with the DOT. So I decided that, I failed the test. I obviously don't need to drive. And then I started getting into other vehicles, such as electric bikes, dirt bikes, motorcycles, and that's what I wanted to get my license for.
Oh, interesting. Maybe the answer is it's not a car, and they're just pushing the car on, but there are other modes of transportation that are also appropriate at that age.
Get them interested in a different vehicle?
Yeah. Kind of work them into it.
When I was going to WASH, I would actually ride my bike everywhere, or ride the bus, or walk. I believed in, if you got 2 feet in the heartbeat, you got it.
2 feet in the heartbeat. And you know what? I think we just said, too, we have a bit of a rural bias because we grew up in smaller towns.
That's
like
true.
You kind of had to have a car. 2 feet in a heartbeat might be the answer. All right, we got
to
cut you loose. Thanks, Dallas.
Thank you.
No problem.
But yeah, I think there's a big difference if you're an in-town person versus an out-of-town person in this topic. Wouldn't you think so?
I would definitely think so. I just watched my kids driving around at my parents' house this weekend in rural Iowa County. There's, you know, Rangers, Gators, stuff like that,
yes.
ATVs that they can practice on. It's a little bit different.
Well, this particular family, 15 going on 16, that driving age kid has no interest in driving at all. Dad's like, if we give him the car, they're going to have to take it.
Then he'll be excited about driving. And mom's like, I'm not so sure. Maybe we should try something. What have other people done who have been in this situation when you have a kid who just doesn't seem interested in getting their license?
Let us know at 200-1029. It's Momtroversy.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9.
Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.